Greetings, it's Jacqueline Lowe at Grace That Reigns. And this is?
Bishop Gilmore, the spiritual director for Grace That Reigns.
Our ministry is focused on renewing your sense of wonder. So, Bishop, we are here today, and I want to ask you a little bit about the sacrament of confession during Advent. And why is it important?
Jacqueline, it's important because we are broken, all of us. But we're broken in so many different ways. But if you look closely at all those ways, what you'll find is that they all come to us through a simple fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that fact is the original sin. We are a deeper problem to ourselves than we normally know. Jesus came to face that sin, to fix that sin, and to take it away from us by taking it upon himself. In Advent, what we do is to remember again the very beginning of that whole process, the age-old but always new story of Advent, of Jesus' coming.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the story is the sacrament of penance which he left us. That's a ritualized way of living out what he did with mm-hmm. our own sin. Confession is good for the splinter of sin that is lodged in a human soul. Good in Advent and good in all other times of the year as well.
Mm-hmm. So I'm struck by that. So I'm wondering then, can you give us an example then, as a pastor, a priest, how did this help to inform you? How did it help you to see this relationship between the confession and Advent, or just confession in general during this time of light?
Okay. Well, I've been struck over and over again, Jacqueline, by the mysterious power in this sacrament, in how the gift of repentance will come to a person at the most unexpected times and in the oddest of places.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I remember a broom closet in a hall outside a university chapel.
Right.
I'm going to tell you that story.
Okay.
I remember airport waiting areas beyond counting. I'm going to tell you that story.
Okay.
I remember even a crowded restaurant and the sounds of a language not my own.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you that story.
Okay.
Want me to begin with the first one?
Yeah, I think that would be great.
I had just been ordained a priest the day before, and on a particular Sunday in June, I was then preoccupied in preparing for something that I had never done before,
mm-hmm.
a solo celebration of my first Mass. At that very inconvenient time, the grace of repentance struck someone who was there for that Mass. He approached me privately and asked if he could go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
He approached me privately, but there were people milling about inside and outside the chapel. There were people everywhere at that day, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
His serious eyes, I knew those eyes because I knew the man,
mm-hmm.
brooked no delay. He had to go to confession.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you do this without calling attention to him, without embarrassment of any kind for him? How do you pull that off?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What we did was to move as far from the people as we could. And as luck would have it, there we stumbled upon a broom closet somehow left unlocked.
Mm-hmm.
They never are in those places. It was somehow left unlocked.
Oh, amazing.
In a few snatched minutes, unknown to most of the people there, it became a holy place of grace.
Mm-hmm.
He did go to confession. He did put into words his sorrow for his sins, and he did receive words from me as an instrument of Jesus Christ, words of absolution, forgiveness, words of healing.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it a long time since he had gone to confession?
It had been quite a long time. I can't remember the details and probably wouldn't tell you if I did. Mm-hmm. Been quite a long time for him, yeah. Mm-hmm. But he had something in particular weighing on his mind.
Mm-hmm. So what made him decide that in that very time that he really felt like he was called to go in for confession?
Well, he wanted to be present at that first Mass. It's a very special time for, mm-hmm. for priests and for Catholics. Mm-hmm. And he certainly wanted to receive communion at that Mass.
Oh, I see.
So we customarily say in the Catholic faith that in order to receive communion worthily, you have to be free from serious sin. And he didn't feel that he was at that time.
Mm-hmm. So it was weighing in his heart.
Right.
You know, I've been sitting with you while we waited in busy airports all over the United States. And I remember a young man coming up to you because you were wearing your collar. And he asked you to come aside because I think he wanted to go for confession. That was really very exciting for me.
Right.
I realized then that you really do this job all over the world.
Right.
Tell me about that conversation.
I don't remember that particular time, but it happened frequently. I don't think I could begin to count the times
mm-hmm.
when I've been approached in busy airports all over the world. And I think the black suit and the collar make it inevitable.
Correct.
That people will do that. They normally come up and they say, "Are you a priest?" And when you kind of nod affirmatively, they'll say, "Are you a Catholic priest?" And then I know exactly what they're going to say next. "Could I go to confession, Father?"
Mm.
And that's essentially what happened with the young man you're mentioning in that episode you were present for. And again, what I do in those cases is to search for places relatively far from others. That's not always easy in a busy airport.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively far from others, but not to take them away from the gate, you know, downstairs or upstairs.
Mm-hmm. Right.
To seek a place away from others. And there, in a kind of a quiet setting, there's a little space around us, we can go through the kind of the practice of just a quiet conversation, you know, mm-hmm. between mm-hmm. friends, a brief, quiet conversation.
Right.
And all the world passing by in the airport, they're not going to pay any attention to it. They're going to take it for nothing more than a conversation in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But in fact, the confession then takes place. And confession is formed of two parts, as you remember. You know, you have to give expression, put into words your sins, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the priest will then essentially put into words the mercy of God, mm-hmm. the forgiveness of God. We call it absolution. He will give you absolution.
Mm-hmm.
And that word from Jesus Christ is a healing word.
Right.
Okay? So the confession takes place, and over again, it will be only a kind of a tight squeeze of my hand when he says goodbye
mm-hmm.
that will betray the emotion that he was working under and the relief that he feels from that brief sacramental encounter.
And you mentioned that many people come to you. It's common that they come to you when you're waiting in waiting rooms or in public places and spaces. So does this happen more during the Advent season, do you find, and Lent? But specifically we're talking about Advent and if you're out and about.
It does happen, I guess, I hadn't thought of it that way, Jacqueline, but it does happen more frequently in two seasons.
Mm-hmm.
The pre-Christmas season, when people are being drawn back into family, where there's sometimes lots of conflict and unresolved issues, that sort of thing. It happens frequently in the Christmas season, the Advent season leading up to Christmas, and it also happens especially in Lent, the mm-hmm. season of Lent leading up to Easter, yeah, more so than the other times. But it can happen any time. The funny thing I often find, just talking to you now, I have given you the two examples, and they have both been men.
Right.
I have another example I can give you. And that is the example I mentioned earlier about a crowded restaurant and a language not my own.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What happened then, this whole thing in the restaurant, it was a kind of an oriental kabuki moment.
You know
what the kabuki is, the kabuki theater. It's a kind of a dance drama, and by heavily costumed people, perfected by the Japanese, and it's called kabuki, that theater. Okay, I knew a number of Korean students at the university over the years, and I was scheduled one time to have brunch with a small group of them after Sunday morning mass. Okay, they would all come to mass. And then we'd go there from there to the restaurant for brunch. All right? There weren't a great number of them that day, but a small group. Okay. Now, a day or so before that was supposed to happen, one of them called me and asked if it would be possible for me to hear the confession of a Chinese student in the restaurant. Okay. He wasn't sure that she would even come, but if she did, would it be possible, if she wanted to, would it be possible to hear a confession in the restaurant? I said, well, that wouldn't be the most appropriate place. But yeah, it would be possible. We could do that. Okay. The morning came. The brunch passed off without incident and also without the Chinese woman. she didn't show.
Okay.
But then she did appear at the very end when we had almost finished, almost ready to go. She came into the restaurant and came to us. She appeared at the very end. She was a quiet, a shy young girl who knew hardly any English at all, I then discovered. Okay. It was so important to her, evidently, that she would not, or else she would not have been there. There's something really weighing on her that she needed to take care of. Okay, so important to her. Well, the crowd had thinned a little bit by then, and so the two of us did what I told you I normally do in an airport. We looked for a quieter place. We moved to a far table for what would appear to everybody else there as only a quiet talk. We got to the quiet table, we began the quiet talk, and there she confessed devoutly, entirely in Chinese. She knew very little English. I knew absolutely no Chinese. She confessed in Chinese, barely above a whisper. And I know it was very important to her because her eyes were tearing over. She did this, okay. When we finished, she stood. She looked at me. She bowed, and she left the restaurant as quickly as she came.
That is an important moment,
yeah.
You know, especially from an Asian, an Oriental person, and someone probably from China.
Yeah, she was from China, student from China. And what I found in all those examples, Jacqueline, is really something like this. There is an urgency to the grace of repentance. We cannot really bring ourselves to confess our sins before God or before a priest unless he gives us the grace of repentance, the grace of really being fundamentally, radically sorry for what we've done. Okay? There's an urgency to the grace of repentance. I found that in the young man, the day of my first Mass. I find that everywhere in the airports when people come up to me for confession, there's something driving them, urgency in that sense. Okay. When it finds you, this grace of repentance, the need to confess is unbelievably strong. Okay. The woman touched by grace feels this. The man touched by grace feels this. They don't care where they are. They don't really care who is watching. They know that they must respond to this grace. Okay? For them, it simply cannot be delayed.
And it's so important then that a priest then continues to wear his collar and black to show that he is a priest, even in this day and age when it's so difficult to be a priest.
Well, it's certainly easier for the would-be penitent because he knows you're not just a regular Joe from the university crowd, you know, so that's helpful in some sense. But the point I'm really making is that the grace of repentance so fixes itself upon them, so drives them, that they have to do it. I could be wearing overalls and a T-shirt with a hole in it. Mm-hmm. If they knew I was a priest, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
They don't care who's watching. They must respond to the grace. It cannot be delayed. I would tell them this is not the normal time. It doesn't matter to them. Mm-hmm. I tell them this is not the normal place. It's not the normal way we do this. They don't care. Mm-hmm. God has called, and it must take place now. Understand?
Yes.
That's the power of that grace. Mm-hmm. And when we shuffle it off to one side and let it go, and we miss it, what a great thing we've missed. Mm-hmm. What a great moment has passed.
And especially towards Lent, when that star of wonder that is waiting for us, it beckons us and helps us, and we feel like we have to be about as transparent as we can to reach that. Mm-hmm. It is the happiest moment in our Catholic calendar, the Christ being born. So in this way, I really see that sense of desire, and hopefully we can ask for that desire and grace to come upon us so that we can go to confession.
Yeah. These cases might have been a little extraordinary. Mm-hmm. Well, they were extraordinary for me. But the grace of repentance comes all the time in 10,000 different ways. It comes. The splinter of sin cannot remain in the soul. Sin is like a splinter that's lodged deep in your soul. And it can't really remain there. If it remains there, it turns foul. It begins to fester.
Right.
It begins to cause more problems internally, physically, for you. Okay?
Right.
The call was there, and these people I've told you about. Mm-hmm. The repentance had already welled up in their souls. They must give expression to the sorrow. They must ask for forgiveness. They must hear the words of absolution and healing. Here, it must be done, this dance drama. Mm-hmm. The sacrament of whispers. Confession is the sacrament of whispers. You whisper your sorry. The priest whispers, you're forgiven. Mm-hmm. That's the essence of the sacrament. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here it must be done. Now it must be done. And if we could get people, Catholics by and large, to see that, to open themselves to that grace, to feel that urgency, we would have been doing a great thing for the season of Advent. Mm-hmm. This is the essential wonder of the sacrament of penance.
And I remember when I was a young girl going to confession during Advent was a time when we were questioning, actually trying to determine if we were really good people. Like it often brought about some sadness in me, thinking, oh my gosh, I'm such a great sinner. What do you say to people who think about that and think that Advent is just feeling that it's for all the sinners and for us to feel bad about this? Help us with this, this confession.
Well, God made us out of love. He made us to be the people we are. He treasures us. He wants to spend all eternity with us. We are, deep down, essentially good people. Adam, deep down, was essentially a good man, the prototype. Eve, deep down, was essentially a wonderful woman, the prototype. Mm-hmm. Both of them sinned. They did something wrong. Did that take away their essential goodness? No. Mm-hmm. They were still good. The Lord came to the garden walking, Adam, where are you? Eve, where are you?
Right.
He came to the garden each night to walk with them in the cool of the evening. Where were they? Then it was clear to God they had sinned. They had turned their back on God. So what happened to them is what happened to you, what happens to me. We're deep down, we're good people.
Mm-hmm.
But we have done something wrong. We have said, God, stay out of my life. I'd rather do it my way.
Okay? Mm-hmm.
We've turned our back on God. That's what sin is, turning your back on God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you can feel sorry for real sins,
mm-hmm.
and you can still have a high self-esteem because the Lord made you a wonderful fact of His creation. Make sense?
That's perfect. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah, that's really it. Mm-hmm. So what we really want people to do, Jacqueline, I think that's our prayer as we end this little session. May the Lord touch all of you out there in this Advent season. May He touch you in such a way that you know the urgent need to find your place, to speak what is lodged in your soul, to hear what heals your real wound.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Bishop Gilmore. This is one of our first series of Advent. I know we haven't been here for a little while, and we are glad to be back on the air. And this is Jacqueline Lowe again from Grace It Rains. We were speaking together today about the wonder of confession during the season of Advent and the vocation of the priesthood during this time, and also how important it is to be able to be open to the Spirit and to His grace. So we would like to come again and talk to you a little bit more about the birth of Jesus closer to the Christmas season. But I hope you have enjoyed our little talk together. Please join us again. We are at www.gracethatreigns.com, and we would love to speak to you and engage with you. Please send us your comments, and we will respond to them when we can, as soon as possible. So,
thank you, Jacqueline, and thank all of you for listening.
Okay. Have a blessed Advent.